Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center from high atop the ice surface. I'm Drew Mandel, the host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast with my colleague Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Buffalo Sabres by a 4-1 margin. Richard, it was a game the Jets needed to have in order to keep their playoff hopes alive and really probably eliminate Buffalo from the playoff race once and for all, which they did with this victory, in my opinion. It wasn't pretty. They don't get any points for art, but a 4-1 victory nonetheless.
Yeah, nothing special about the game. Buffalo looks horrid out there. I mean, Buffalo's done. So, I mean, if they make the playoffs, Pittsburgh's going to beat them 3. So, you know, I thought the Jets took, you know, just played a okay game. Nothing special. I think Buffalo's really bad. But the Jets, you know, I thought the Jets played a more disciplined game. And I realized there were a lot of penalties and some of them questionable. The reffing was a little sketchy tonight. But a more disciplined game in terms of taking risks and in terms of defensively and things like that. Pavlik bailed him out a couple times. I know the shots were even at 30-30, but overall, I thought they played a solid game, and I thought, most importantly, they were able to kind of shut it down at the end of the game. I know they took some penalties and such, but they didn't make it more interesting than it needed to be, and you take the 2 points over a team that is worse than you. They're worse than the Jets.
Yeah.
You're at home. The team, as we talked about during the game, no Regier, no Leopold, huge holes in the back end. And the back end wasn't great to begin with. So you took advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. First period, didn't see any scoring.
Uneventful.
Uneventful. You know, The Jets probably controlled more of the play, but most of the the shots
very
on
few
goal,
scoring Jets.
Yeah. I mean, how many shots on goal did they have in the first period? I think they had 12 or something, if I'm not mistaken.
Jets in the first period?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anyways, whatever it was. I think they outshot them by a pretty decent margin, I thought. But most of the shots were from the outside. Nothing terrific.
First period
tremendous.
Shots for the Jets were 11-8.
11-8. Most of the shots from the outside. Like you said, pretty inconsequential first period. The Jets opened the scoring in the second period at the 4:54 mark of the second period. It's Kyle Wellwood, his fourth of the year, assist to Evander Kane. And the Jets are on the board. They're up 1-0. You know, Wellwood... Kane with sort of just a random shot.
Yeah.
It deflects off of a defender and it goes right to Kyle Wellwood, sort of, you know, right in the middle of the, right in front of the net. Nobody near him because of the ricochet, wide open cage, and he wrists it in there and it's 1-0. A goal the Jets needed to have, really, because, you know, they're still fragile confidence wise. And once they did that, they sort of started rolling at that point.
Yeah, Tyler Myers kind of lost position there, but Drew Stafford also kind of blew coverage down low. And if you look at the, you know, plus minus, you can say what you will about plus minus, but today Drew Stafford -4, Thomas Vanek -4, Tyler Myers -3, Tyler Ennis -4. And they were all brutal today. And I think that says it tonight. And then that goal, you know, obviously a fortuitous bounce and you know, Kane always puts the puck on net and Wellwood has good hockey sense. But overall, you know, just brutal Sabres defensive play throughout the night, I thought.
Yeah.
And you know, you get the bounces when you put the puck to the net enough.
That's right. The Jets score their second goal of the period about just over 5 minutes later at the 10:04 mark of the second period. Aaron Gagnon, his first in the NHL, his first of the year, obviously, assist to Dustin Byfuglien. Just a really nice play by Dustin Byfuglien. He pinches at the right point, keeps the puck in, cuts down low, probably just around the face-off circle, whips a pass right across to Aaron Gagnon. Again, left wide open, left alone in the slot. One-timer, past Ryan Miller. It's 2-0 Jets, and Aaron Gagnon's on cloud nine for the rest of the game.
He is, and you know that's why Byfuglien is such a polarizing figure in Jets circles and fan circles, for that matter, because he can make a play like that with poise, and not only the pass through. The pass is the vision, but it's the touch. It's a great pass. It's a pass that can be shot. It's not too hard, not too soft. It gets there. I think it was Pisick on the... Is it Pisick? Is a Sabres defenseman. Left a little bit too much space.
Mark Pisick.
Yeah, Mark Pisick left a little bit too much space, and Byfuglien picked between at the seam, and he didn't jump it early enough, and Byfuglien picked it. Gannon's on his off wing, puts it in the net, and just a great hockey sense, and it opened up for him. But it opened up for a lot of players sometimes, and he has the patience to see it and the ability to make the pass. Gagnon puts it in the net, and Jets are on their way.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Bufflin's game today. He played 22 minutes and 4 seconds, so not a ton of ice time. Worth noting that Toby Enstrom left the game, only ended up playing altogether, Toby Enstrom, 5 minutes and 26 seconds. So the Jets played the bulk of the game with 5 defensemen. Thought Bufflin had a bounce-back game after he'd been struggling the last few games.
Yep.
Thought he was solid. Defensively, showed some good hustle, made that nice play there.
Yeah.
Sort of showed you why Dustin Bufflin is, you know, like you said, such a polarizing figure, but such an intriguing talent at the same time.
Well, that's why he's polarizing. But you look at, you know, Dustin Bufflin today, he joined the rush a few times, but not too many times. And I think that serves him well in, you know, two purposes, really. The first purpose is, you know, it allows him to not leave a glaring hole on the back end sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the second purpose would be that it actually allows him to rein in a little bit of that conditioning issue, meaning when you don't exert effort going up all the time, then you're not as tired coming back, and you're not tired for the rest of the game.
Pick
so when you're standing around, the picking your spots is defensively and conditioning wise.
Right.
If he's well conditioned, he can pick his spots easier and jump back in the play.
Right. Exactly right. And today,
but he isn't right now, and that's how he has to play, and that was fine.
Yeah. Coach Noel won't have any argument with his defensive zone coverage today. Won't have any argument with him, you know, being a forward in a defensive body. It was a solid all-around Dustin Bufflin game, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Jets made it 3-0 at the 19:38 mark of the third period. Andrew Ladd, his 15th of the year.
Second period, Drew.
Pardon me, second period. Andrew Ladd gets his 15th of the year, assist to Brian Little. Turnover at the red line. Little and Ladd sort of come in on a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Little with a nice pass over to Ladd. Ladd with very soft hands pulls the puck back around Ryan Miller and puts it into the empty net. You know,
it was really
very nice goal. Again, defensive breakdown by the Buffalo Sabres, you know, in the neutral zone end.
Really nice move by Ladd, really nice hands. Give him full credit for deking out Ryan Miller. What Tyler Myers and Christian Ehrhoff are doing on this play are beyond me. I mean, just take that video and huck it in the sea if you're the Sabres, because that's how you don't play defense. And I realize there was a turnover and all that stuff, but the caught going the wrong way. Christian Ehrhoff is a complete disaster in his own zone, which he always was, but even more so tonight. So Jets taking advantage with really nice skill play. That's a nice skill play, and Ladd gets off the schneid, but also the Sabres. I mean, whew. Yeah, if you're a Sabres fan, tonight was a nightmare.
Well, it's funny. You know, we were talking to Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News in the course of the game, and there's been a lot of upheaval in the Sabres camp with their fans booing the team at home ice, and Steve Ott.
Well, I saw tonight, and I was a Sabres fan, I'd boo too.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, if this is how they've been playing, I'd be booing with the best of them. Steve Ott earlier today coming out sort of chastising the fans for booing them. Well, I mean, the Sabres were dreadful. I mean, that's the word you can use for them, is
brutal.
Dreadful.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know what you even say about that. I mean, their defensive coverage stank.
And their defense, as bad as their defensive coverage was, it wasn't necessarily their bottom two defenders who were that bad in their own zone. It was also it was from top to bottom.
Yeah, they were all bad. But, you know, Drew, another issue is the offense. How many more times are you going to make a between-the-legs pass? I mean, you're down 3-1, you're 3-0. Your team's an embarrassment right now. And I think I counted 3 or 4 passes between the legs, behind the back. The guys, like, get over yourselves. Make a simple play.
You look at the Sabres forwards, because we've been harping on the defense, rightfully so, but you look at the Sabres forwards, and the number of players, the number of their forwards that you can probably say you didn't notice tonight is more than the ones who stood out. I thought Steve Ott had a good game. I thought he was, you know, hitting, and he noticed him at least.
Yeah,
right. Cody Hodgson play this game?
No, he was nothing.
Tyler Ennis, did he play?
No, Tyler Ennis was invisible.
Drew Stafford?
Some points he was okay, but he didn't play a good game.
Yeah.
He had the puck, but him and Vanek had the puck at times, but
inconsequentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just a real mess from top to bottom for the Buffalo Sabres. The only Sabres player who I thought showed up, at least battled, was Ryan Miller, their goaltender.
Yeah, he had no chance really on maybe the third goal, you can say someone, but it wasn't his fault. The other two, he had completely no chance. And obviously the fourth one was an empty netter. But yeah, Drew, I mean, if you look at that roster, you got to think, ooh, I mean,
high-priced guys who aren't bringing it.
Yeah.
You know, the Sabres, to their credit, I guess, for lack of a better word, it was 3-0 after 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. The Sabres scored at the 4:54 mark of the third period. Just Kevin Porter has the puck. He tries to pass it across the seam. It happens to hit Blake Wheeler sort of in the pants or in the shin pads, and pinballs into the wide open net. No chance for anybody. Wow. Just a terrible bounce.
Yeah, nothing he can do about that.
Sort of gave the Sabres a little bit of life.
But they got the power play after.
Yeah, because they got a couple power plays in the third period as well. You know, Mark Stewart took a penalty a minute and six seconds later. So if the Sabres can get something on that power play, you know, maybe then they, you know, it's 3-2 all of a sudden. They haven't really done anything to deserve to be in the game. But the Sabres power play also demonstrated why it's dead last in the NHL tonight.
Yeah, the Sabres power play, I mean, that should be better than it is. That is a concern if I'm a Sabres fan, you know, in terms of the first unit's really very talented. You have Ennis and you have Stafford and you have Vanek and you have some guys on the point who can play. They look like they kind of got it going a little bit in terms of the puck movement for maybe the third a bit there, but the second unit's brutal. I mean, the second unit's not a power play unit. The second unit on the Jets is brutal, too, so I think Jets fans know about that.
Well, the Jets have the second worst power play in the league.
I mean, there's good power plays that don't have a great second unit, like Washington is loaded up on that top one, and Sabres just aren't producing, Drew. I mean, it didn't seem like it's too much of a scheme problem. It's just not producing.
Yeah, I mean, and the Sabres, you know, they controlled the play probably for the most of the third period, as you'd expect.
Like, teams with the lead, teams trailing will control the play.
That's exactly it. You know, you can't read too much into it.
No.
I never really thought the Jets were threatened to any great degree.
They were.
You know, Thomas Vanek had a good chance at about the, you know, 8 minute mark or so of the third period. Missed the wide open net. You know, if he scores there, but ifs and buts and, you know, everything else.
That's right.
It, you know, ends up, the Jets get an empty net goal. Blake Wheeler from Andrew Ladd and Brian Little, just a nice play to clear that ear's own zone. Yeah, nothing exciting about it. That came at the 19:34 mark of the third period, putting a cherry on this Sunday 4-1 Jets final over the Sabres. Jets keep pace. Don't gain any ground. Keep pace with all their competition. If you look at the Eastern Conference, they're still 2 points behind Washington for the Southeast lead. Washington still with that game in hand. Yeah. Tampa Bay defeated Ottawa today. Ottawa's lost five in a row, so they dropped down. I think they're now in eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. So
the TSN just showed it on the TV up here, and so the Rangers were eighth.
Maybe Ottawa's seventh, but they're really hitting the skids as you thought they were going to based on all their injuries and everything. But
yeah, it took Jets, longer than we thought.
Yeah, the Jets leapfrog New Jersey, so they're into ninth in the Eastern Conference. So again, they have to sort of...
I mean, the schedule, Drew, is... I mean, they don't have as many games as everybody else, but they play four to six at home?
Four of their next six are at home, yeah.
And their schedule's easy.
Well, and the two road games are against this Buffalo team 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, the big one in Washington on 2 weeks from today against the Capitals that very well could decide, you know, the Southeast Division.
It could. You're exactly right. I mean, you hope as a Jets fan it comes down to that game or Montreal game on the Thursday, I believe it is.
Yeah, or the Montreal game, the last game of the regular season, the 2 weeks from this coming Thursday, that'll be the last, that's the last Jets game of the year. Again, it's just a matter of have to take care of business over these next four home games. Thursday against Florida, Tuesday against Carolina, Tuesday against Tampa, Thursday against Carolina, and then Saturday against the Islanders.
It's an easy four-game stretch.
It's not a hard schedule whatsoever. You've got to take care of it.
You know, when you talk about cliches, you hear one game at a time, but in reality, it is one game at a time right now. You can't think of the other. Every team right now is there for the taking. So you look at Thursday, you say, the Florida Panthers are done. We know they're done. They're a mess.
They've still come
not,
in.
Not future-wise, but they're a mess this year. They're done. So get in, and you like to get on them earlier than the Jets. The Jets had a louder crowd today, and they kind of let it get away from them.
Yeah.
You can pounce on them early. I remember the 7-0 or 7-1
game last year.
If you can do something, obviously not 7-1, but if you can get on them early, the team that's done, as you know, J.S. Jaguar's comments, which we'll talk about on the air tomorrow night on NHL Midweek, but the idea is, you know, they're done. They know they're trying to plan the summer, and are they really going to fight back for a game that doesn't mean anything? It doesn't mean they don't necessarily have character, but it means, hey, what is there to play for?
Exactly right. Don't give them the glimpse of hope begin with.
That's right.
And if the Jets take care of business on Thursday, then they've done what they needed to do. They won their first three at home, and then they have that 5-day break.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play from Thursday until the following Tuesday. And most of the other teams in the Eastern Conference will use up their games in hand in that window.
Yep.
So come that Tuesday,
when
they have five games left in the season, the Jets will know what they actually have to do and where they stand. that's it for the Illegal Curve postgame podcast tonight. Some time on ice. Zach Bogosian, 24 minutes and 4 seconds on defense for the Jets. Ron Hainsey led all Jets defenders at 26:45. Bufflin, 22:04, like we mentioned. Grant Clinsom, 21:59. And Mark Stewart, 20:05. All playing some extra minutes as a result of Tobias Enstrom's injury. Don't know his status for Thursday night's game, of course. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com. We'll get you that update. In terms of forwards, Andrew Ladd led the team in ice time amongst their forward group, 19 minutes and 48 seconds. Evander Kane second at 19 minutes and 38 seconds. The shots tonight, 30-30. Andre Pavlik, 29 saves for the victory. The three stars tonight, your third star with his first career NHL goal, Aaron Gagnon. Andre Pavlik, 29 saves, gets the second star of the game. And Andrew Ladd with a goal and an assist is the first star of tonight's game. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. NHL midweek on TSN 1290. We'll get you caught up on everything going on around the NHL. For analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve postgame podcast.